The number one thing that's robbing our viewers of the joy they were promised and how to fix it. And enjoying the RV life. Real DIY fixes from the RV community. And then in the next stop, we're going to visit Olympic National Park. And then in the shadows of the past, towns that once were, we're going to go to Bordeaux, Washington, and in RV Envy. The question is, do you have it together at the campsite? This is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast, your trusted source for tips and insights to embrace the RV lifestyle without worry. So let's talk everything RV today, and it's episode 179. So let's just dig right in. So how are you doing today, Alexis?
I am doing really well. Yes.
Really well. That's good.
Yeah.
That's so nice to do really well today when everybody has so many problems, and here you are in your ivory tower.
Yes.
All right. So, no, just messing with you there. So, you know, we're going to talk about this RV toilet valve malfunction and how it flooded an RV.
Oh, boy.
We're not going to get to the gist of it until the end of the show.
Okay. I'm excited.
So now everybody has to hang around for the entire podcast. So no matter how long we go today, you've got to hear the end of this.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, you should want to hear the end of it. I can say you got to.
You should.
Got to, no.
Got to.
All right, so as a reminder, before we start digging into the meat of everything, if you haven't explored the idea of having a RV extended warranty, check out Wholesale Warranties. There's a link to their website in our description, or actually to a contact them page where you can send it in and they will contact you and talk to you about an RV extended warranty and how they can bring you peace of mind and how well they work and how honest these guys are. Really, Wholesale Warranties is probably the best in the industry. They are upfront. They don't want to sell you a warranty unless you know everything about the warranty. So they're not going to dupe you, walk you into something that you don't need. So if you're looking at buying a used RV, a new RV, private party, or through a dealership, contact Wholesale Warranties.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just already bought an RV and you didn't get a warranty. Now you want to get an extended warranty. Check them out. Use the link in our description and it'll take you right to a page and someone will be in contact with you soon enough. So today, in staying on the road, I mean, enjoying the RV life, jumping right ahead here.
Hey.
So we're going to talk about do-it-yourself RV fixes from the RV community. So these are the real deal from real RVers. And Alexis sourced these out on the internet. Took her days and days and days to find these.
Talked to a lot of weirdos.
Wow.
So don't try this at home, kids.
So she didn't talk to any of the smart RVers, okay? She was down in L.A. at the encampments.
That is what I meant.
The homeless encampments, yeah. Okay? And then she left all that stuff there and got real stories.
Yeah.
All the weirdos. Oh.
Sorry.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's
out.
By the way, this is our last episode.
It was a doozy.
So there's quite a few here that we've got so far, and we're going to start kind of sprinkling these through some episodes.
Yes.
We talked about that. Some of these are pretty cool.
They're going to be more like horror stories.
Right.
Is what we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. But they can be.
Yeah. Today we're not going to talk about horror stories, though.
So
about something else.
On our list here, Alexis, is there one that stood out to you that grabbed your
attention? There is. I highlighted it because I thought it was really good, especially because I know how much you love duct tape. And the title is The Duct Tape Slide Out Rescue. He doesn't love duct tape. Just saying. That was sarcasm. Anyway, I'll go ahead and read it. It says, let's start with a classic, duct tape. One full-time RVer, Mike from Arizona, shared how his slide-out's rubber seal ripped during a windy overnight stay in the desert. The tear was letting dust and heat pour in. No dealership in sight, and 2 days from his next stop, Mike grabbed his trusty roll of industrial duct tape and covered the tear from the outside. It wasn't pretty, but it held for over 600 miles. The key, Mike says, was cleaning the rubber thoroughly before applying the tape and using multiple layers in a crisscross pattern. Bonus, the temporary fix kept out both the dust and a nasty scorpion he later spotted on the ground outside. So,
wow.
Double duty there. the scorpion sounds a lot worse than dust.
Then after he got done putting duct tape all over the side of his RV, he made a duct tape wallet so he could, you know, like be really cool and have his money in it so he can go buy more duct tape.
Yes.
I don't think duct tape should be used on anything. No. Maybe an extreme emergency. Like and I wouldn't call this an extreme emergency.
I mean.
I get it. He used it. Some people are most people do use duct tape.
Yeah, I like duct tape.
You know, I still have the same roll of duct tape when I bought when I was a little kid. You know, I don't use it very often. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Yeah. But no, I get it. You know why I don't like duct tape? The real reason is because it leaves that adhesive on everything.
Yeah.
You use it on an awning fabric. This guy used it on slide-out seals, which he's going to have to replace anyway. So kind of, all right, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use it on an awning, like it's tearing at the top, and you put it on the awning rail and the fabric, whoever does that awning has to cut all that off.
Yeah.
And they're just going to, in fact, when I do it, I just get the fabric out. I'm not going to clean up all that duct tape. That's your problem.
I don't blame you.
You used it. You live with it. All right. So I see you have one more highlighted here.
I do. Is that okay?
Sure. Why not?
Let's look at it. Okay. The title is When a Cabinet Door Falls Off and Zip Ties Save the Day. It's not always the big stuff that causes headaches. A listener named Rachel wrote in to say her upper kitchen cabinet door came completely unhinged, literally, while driving across a bumpy Kansas highway. With no screws long enough to reattach it, she grabbed a pack of heavy-duty zip ties and looped them through the screw holes to temporarily anchor the door to the frame. It wasn't elegant, but it kept everything secure and rattle-free for the rest of the trip. And pro tip, it says, zip ties aren't just for organizing cables. They're great emergency stand-ins for missing bolts, broken latches, or even securing your awning arm if a hinge breaks mid-trip. What do you think about that?
Well, I've seen a lot of awning arms with zip ties holding them together.
Yeah, okay.
And just the other day, someone had a camper in here, and it was one of those pop-up campers, and the latches were held closed with zip ties.
Okay.
Zip ties are all right. They're pretty harmless.
Yeah, they're pretty harmless.
You know, you can scratch paint and stuff if you're not careful, but I get what she did. You know, you got a cabinet, wasn't sure what to do.
Right.
So she found some zip ties.
She made it work. Yeah.
Or as some people might call them, pan-do-its.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Did not know.
Yeah, and you don't need to know. So we'll forget I even said that.
Oh, no.
All right, yeah. So there's a lot of them here. And it's interesting how people get so creative when they're trying to fix something out on the road.
In a pinch, yeah.
And so having some of these things around, like even the duct tape.
Even the duct tape, Eric.
All right, I got to come clean. I do carry a roll of Gorilla tape in my truck. For off-roading. Now, you know, I've got everything in there. So, you know, that, it's last resort, though. That's like when all else fails.
I love it, though. This makes me happy to know.
After walking 80 miles in the sun, you know,
then maybe
I'll break it out.
Yeah, okay.
But having stuff around, zip ties, they're inexpensive. Having those, you don't have to have a bunch of different sizes. Just get longer ones, and they work for everything.
I say have a drawer in your RV with all this stuff in it. So you can just know where everything is. If you need it, there's the drawer.
Yeah, it's part of being organized and having it together, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's a couple horror stories. Well, they're not horror stories, but things that have happened to people and how they climb their way through it without turning
into... interesting.
They didn't make the situation worse.
Right.
And that's what's
important.
That's
the point. Yeah.
You know, quite often the situation gets worse. Trying to fix something, you create more damage or make it just bad.
Exactly.
So now that brings us to our money-saving tip. And today we're going to talk about propane, and this might not really apply 100% to RVers because in the propane world, when you're getting your tanks refilled, you're typically going to a propane filling station with an RV. Motorhomes, definitely. Travel trailers, maybe. I would say more often than not, because most exchange places where you can go and get a propane tank and exchange it, they don't have the larger tanks for most trailers. But a lot of RVers are coming with the smaller tanks that are more of the barbecue size, the 15 or 20-pound ones. It's easier to go to an exchange. You just give them your old tank and get, I'm not going to say a new one, it's new to you, but generally they're used tanks. In fact, I had a tank that was expired. It needed a valve or something. The person at the propane place said, why don't you just go down to this place, sign up for their exchange, go through the new, their tanks and get a new one, and then there you go. You never have to use it again. And I think, yeah, that's great, but I'd rather just have my tank. I know the history and all that, so I just had her fix it, you know, not a big deal. She just kind of proved the whole point that some people will use these just to get rid of their old tanks. Then they have to be recertified so they can be used again. And they're very expensive. They're a lot more than just having the tank filled.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to save money, these propane exchanges are convenient, but they do come with a price tag. Like I said, they're expensive, and you don't know what you're going to get. You know, a lot of those tanks are old, they're rusty, they're crummy looking, and if you have a nice barbecue, nice setup, you don't want this old tank sitting there, and you don't know the history of it. And granted, you're not using it for that long of a time if you're barbecuing regularly or using it regularly. But then again, it could hang around for quite a while, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So you just don't know what you're getting, but also it's the money you spend. They are a lot more than just having a tank filled.
Gotcha.
You know, they're just convenient. Well, I don't even know if it's convenient. You know, go to some of these stores where they're at. Hey, I need to get a propane tank. Someone has to go unlock it. You go through the motions.
Yeah.
You're probably there longer than if you went to a propane filling station.
Exactly.
And, you know, are you going to buy an impulse item there? Throw a little extra money down on the counter.
You know,
oh, I'm standing in the line, you know, and you get an ice cream or a water or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just go to a propane filling station, save the money, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And, you know, when you're out traveling or using your RV, sometimes, you know, sacrificing a little bit saves you some money, and it's worthwhile because it's not a huge sacrifice. And you start saving some money here, some money there, and it all adds up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe by the end of the day, you've actually paid for a dinner out if you decided to do so.
There you go.
Money's money.
Money's
money.
So
be smarter with it. And as things get changed in this world we live in, you know, mm-hmm. it's harder to make a living. Your dollar doesn't go as far, so save where you can.
Yeah.
So this article about the money-saving tips will be on the money-saving tips portion of our website, thesmartrver.com. Then Enjoying the RV Life will be there as well, some of these horror stories. So you can read those and check them out. And those will become a regular feature. We'll just keep adding to it. We won't make new pages, just keep adding.
I love it.
Till we've got them all. And that'll be never ending, right? Yeah, as long as we have RVs, we'll be doing things that are interesting and stupid at the same time.
Entertaining.
There you go. That sounds better.
Yeah, than stupid.
Stupid, yeah. There we go again. So the three remaining listeners are gone now.
Sorry, guys.
All right, so this is now going to bring us to staying on the road. And the title of it is The Number One Thing That's Robbing RVers of the Joy They Were Promised and How to Fix It. So that's interesting. What were you promised, or what did you promise yourself when you were dreaming about buying your RV? You know, I know at the dealership they made a lot of promises. You know, and they paint a picture. You're out on the open road, your hair blowing back, all these scenic places you're going to see, beautiful campgrounds, sipping coffee at sunrise. Oh, this just the mountains behind you. What an awesome place, right? That's where you want to be. That's the RV life. That's the picture that's painted. But that's not always the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mountains might be there. You might be drinking some coffee, not sipping it. You're not enjoying it. You're down it because you got a million things to do because things went wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of RVers have those expectations, but they're not really finding the RV to be as fun as they thought or told it was going to be. So what's the deal? What's stealing RVers of this joy? What's the problem here? You know, over the years, I've talked to probably 4 or 5 million RVers, but maybe not that many.
Probably
in the thousands.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not the answer you're thinking. An interesting question, but the answer is not always in front of it. And I've talked about this before. It's a lack of preparedness. That's the biggest problem RVers face. And we see it in our store. We hear it all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't end. Very few RVers, I think, well, it's not just RVers. People in general, traveling, doing things, they're not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that are into overlanding, off-roading, are probably more prepared for what they do because they're in such remote areas. And when things go bad, you got to get out. Lack of preparedness. And that sounds pretty simple, but it's not always that simple. And actually, to be prepared takes a few bucks as well. So let's kind of look at this and break it down some. Part of it is maintenance neglect. So you have an RV, you notice some things, and you're not taking care of it. Maybe your tire's a little low, your roof's got a bad spot in it that you're going to take care of, but you didn't. Last summer, your battery was great. Oh, it worked all summer long. So you think, I'm good. Even though you know there's a couple things, but, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to ignore that. Then all of a sudden, you're stranded on the side of the road, or you're at the RV park, you're having problems, and you're burning cash, you're burning daylight, and now you're waiting for someone to come fix it, maybe a tow, or trying to find a tire shop that's open, maybe it's a weekend. So now all of a sudden, your peaceful getaway's a mess, right? Yeah. It's anything but that. So maintaining your RV is going to help you reduce the amount of surprises you have. And the fewer the surprises you have, the better the trip. Peace of mind will settle in, and you're going to enjoy your trip that much more. So some of this ties in with poor planning. Your RV, and you can't micromanage every mile that you haven't taken yet. And then when you're traveling, you can't micromanage those miles either. You just have to be prepared for what's coming ahead.
Right.
Can't wing it all the time. Winging it sometimes works, but not all the time.
No.
And it can come down to something as simple as fuel stops. Let's say you're driving across the state, 600 miles, 800 miles. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead, you know what kind of mileage or the distance you can go on a tank of fuel while you're towing your trailer or driving your motorhome, thinking about gas stops where you can get fuel, and planning ahead. Rather than just getting out on the road and you look at the map, oh, look at all these cities, these towns. And then you get to that town and it's like nothing there.
Yeah.
It's a name on the map. And I know in Montana, just driving to Utah recently, you know, there's a town called, or on the map, it says Moneta. There's nothing there. There's Lima. Well, Lima, there's something there. There's these little places that have nothing there. They used to be something, but they're still on the maps.
Oh, interesting.
Arizona, where we live, there's towns on the map right by our house. There was no town there. It used to be a town for the railroad. So you can't always depend on that. Going to Alaska one time, we were prepared, but we could see that there's all these towns, but it was wintertime. They're all closed. So plan ahead and give yourself some leeway on the fuel. Don't cut it right down to the last, 12 miles or whatever.
Please don't.
And think about campsites, availability. If you're going to be stopping at campsites, plan ahead because that removes frustration. And, planning ahead sometimes is a little bit of a chore, but once you do it, it's behind you. And keep notes. If you're staying in a campground or multiple campgrounds, write them down.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get a book or start a journal or something for that trip so you can keep it all there. It's all in one spot, or keep a journal for all your trips.
Mm-hmm.
So you have everything. And, another thing we come across is how RVers sometimes can be hesitant to do do-it-yourself repairs. They feel like they need a mechanic, that they don't have the skill set. So they want to keep someone on speed dial in case there's a problem and they're not ready for it. And that gets kind of over the top, ridiculous sometimes, and expensive because it's not necessary in all cases. You don't have to be an expert to maintain your RV. And like I've talked about in the past, the example of a fuse, a blown fuse can ruin a trip for somebody if they don't know how to check and replace a fuse. Something stops working. It's like, oh no, we can't go on the trip, or we better cancel the trip. The water pump quit. We got to get a technician out here. We got to get somebody. It turns into this three-ring circus when it's just a little, 50-cent fuse.
Yeah.
So have a voltmeter. Learn how to use it to check fuses. Learn how to look at a fuse. If you don't have a voltmeter and don't want to buy one, you should have a voltmeter, though, in an RV. That should just be hands down something you should have. Don't be afraid to do things. A water valve in a toilet is not that hard to replace, especially if you have to do it. You can't get someone to do it. Learn how to be self-sufficient, what your capabilities are. But learning is the thing. Learn how. Now, another thing out on the road is power and connectivity. So power is pretty straightforward. You got to have batteries. You got to have 110 volts. You got to have something to keep the lights on in the RV. But today, more and more people are working remotely. They're staying in touch with their family and friends, sometimes just for the fun of it, sometimes because they want someone else to know where they're at. So in case they don't come home in a week or whatever, they can send out the dogs and the search party to find them.
Yeah.
The FBI, have you called all the hospitals? And what's that movie? We're going to check every farmhouse, doghouse, outhouse, or house, in-house, whatever. I don't think that's how it goes. But so if you're out on the road and you're running out of juice, you know, the power's getting depleted, that's a problem. You know, you don't want your batteries to go dead. You want to have 110 volts. But when you lose your signal, now you might not be able to stream videos, keep in touch with other people. So now you get a little stressed out because that digital withdrawal is coming upon you and you weren't ready for it. So make sure your batteries are up to snuff, that they're in good shape. And invest in good batteries. You know, these big box stores like Costco, Walmart, auto parts stores, they have inexpensive batteries. And they're not good for RV deep cycle batteries. They don't last as long. You're going to be replacing them sooner. And this is what I call self-inflicted inflation. You buy cheap, and then you have to replace it sooner or more often. See, that inflation is self-inflicted. Don't do that to yourself. And then with good batteries, you're going to keep things going. And remember, like I said in the beginning of this, just because the batteries worked last summer doesn't mean they're going to work this summer.
It's true.
Kind of like your car. You know, you pull up your house, you park in the driveway, you shut the door, you go in, eat dinner, go to bed, wake up in the morning, you go back to work, go out to your car, and it doesn't start. Well, it ran last night.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't today, sucka. So you got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be things you can't control, but try to be in control of what you can. And then there's the old someday trap. Oh, I'll get to that soon enough. I'm going to do that next weekend. I'm going to do that, you know, at the end of summer. I'm going to wait. I got a list going here. So I'm going to wait until all this stuff is, you know, end of summer, I'll get to this entire list. Well, don't do that. If you're building a list, you're building problems. And taking care of this stuff before you have to is the way to do it. It's being prepared.
I agree.
You know, don't delay trips, cancel trips because you're not prepared. And also, you know, it's having some things. We've talked about having tools, you know, with you. And you have to kind of decide what works for you. Look at your RV, what you're going to need, what your skill set is. Mm-hmm. Cordless drill. Yeah, you got one sitting right here, as a matter of fact.
Hey.
Wow, look at that. Just in case. Yeah, I'm prepared.
Yeah, you are.
Got up this morning. I said, you know, we got to do this podcast today. I'm going to make sure my cordless drill is there. I even got a wrench.
Yeah.
See? What do you got?
Coffee. Yeah. See? I'm prepared.
Wow. All right. So it's really simple. Just be prepared, be flexible, and learn a little bit about your RV. Things do you think you wouldn't be able to deal with out on the road? Learn about them.
Yeah.
What can you do to deal with them? And like I said, there will be problems. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just can't do anything about it. It might ruin your trip, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And don't feel that buying a new RV is going to solve your problems. That's why people buy new cars. They think it's going to solve all their problems. So just be ahead of things. Check your route, check your tire, check your propane. Just
check
do all the little things, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Check your gun at the door. So you're a smart RVer, so you've got this. It's right up your alley. All right, so now that article will be on our website as well, like every article. So now we're coming to the next stop. And this is Olympic National Park in Washington. And it's going to be right next to Bordeaux, Washington.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to make sure I mention this now because I forgot. I don't mention it on every episode. But we have the next stop in the Shadows of the Past, the towns that once were. There are two places that are close to one another.
Yes.
The next stop is the bigger city, more of the hub, where you want to go. Is a, you know, maybe a camping area, resources.
Right.
Buy everything you forgot. Mm-hmm. And then the towns that once were, the Shadows of the Past, those are the small, cooler towns.
Yes.
All right. So, Alexis, what can you tell us about Olympic National Park?
There is a lot to know about this park. It's very huge. There's a lot of ecosystems in it. Nearly 1 million acres of this. So there's rugged coastlines. There's rainforest and there's glaciated peaks. A lot of diversity there. It's very, very unique. So three activities that you can do. Hiking the Hall of Mosses Trail. This is kind of cool. Following the road signs, of course, is a good idea to get there. And then tide pooling at Rialto Beach. One thing you're going to want to do, though, this is a word of caution, is check the tide charts before you do that and wear sturdy shoes. Just don't think that you're a professional tide pooler, if that's what it's called. I don't know. You can do this, but just be careful. Check those, what are they called? Tide charts, just to make sure you don't get swept out to
charts.
The ocean.
Get a sticky charts, book.
Sticky books. There we go. And then Hurricane Ridge Stargazing. This is a popular one. At 5,242 feet, you can check out the night skies here. So they do this. It's led by the ranger, so you don't have to go out alone. It's safe. But you definitely want to check that out.
Another
That's
sticky
cool.
book.
Right.
Night skies.
There we go. Three restaurants. Lake Crescent Lodge Restaurant. The Tides Inn. Next Door Gastro Pub. Sounds very interesting.
Wow.
It's actually a very trendy pub. With brisket sandwiches and craft beers there. Amazing. There's also RV parks, of course. We always have to talk about these. They've got quite a few. There's a Olympic Peninsula Port Angeles KOA. So that's only 15 miles from the park entrance. So that might be something you want to consider. There's more, but you can Google those. They've got propane station, dump stations. Obviously, we like you to do your own research, but we do have some listed here so that you can reference them. So, there you go. Check it out.
Wow, that was
Smart RVers.
Nutshell. Smart RVers. So, yeah, there's a lot there.
There is.
It's a national park. National parks always have tours and cool things to
they
see.
They do.
You only have to pay to get in, which kind of sucks, yeah. But that's life.
Yeah.
So, it's worth going. I think most national parks you can go to without any reservations about going. You might need a reservation to get there, like Glacier or something, you're not going to be bummed out.
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's what I'm getting at. Check that out. That's in Washington. So now that's going to bring us to another Shadows of the Past, the towns that once were. Let me find my place here. Talk about Bordeaux, Washington. Bordeaux.
Such a cool name.
So this is another page out of Grandpappy Popeye's book.
There you go.
Bordeaux is, like we mentioned, near Olympic National Park. Now, Bordeaux is a very interesting place, as you'll see as we read through here, that it's not what you probably think it is.
Right.
And then you're not going to be able to go there.
I know. How weird is that?
So, wow,
but we're still going to talk about it.
I guess we don't need to talk about it now.
No,
all right.
Private.
So here we go. So now remember, we're in Washington, so we got a nice mossy forest. It's green, overgrown, and it's just south of Olympia. So when you're in Olympia, you can get some beer there as well. But it's a tree or a town that's there, but kind of not there anymore. So get into it. At the turn of the 20th century, Bordeaux wasn't on most maps. But to the hard-working loggers and their families who lived there, it was the heart of everything. Founded around 1903 by the Bordeaux family, who also ran the local lumber company, the town rose quickly out of the dense timberland. This was no sleepy village. At its peak, Bordeaux had a schoolhouse, a company store, worker housing, a post office, and, of course, the ever-present sawmill, where the air rang with the whine of blades and the scent of fresh-cut cedar. Log trains steamed through the town daily, hauling massive loads toward the booming markets of the West Coast. Life in Bordeaux was tough but tight-knit. Children walked to school through muddy paths. Families gathered for church services in makeshift halls, and every whistle from the mill meant another shift had begun or ended. The town even had its own baseball team, giving residents something to cheer for on weekends. But like the trees that once surrounded it, Bordeaux's days were numbered. By the 1940s, the old-growth timber was gone. The sawmill closed, the train stopped running, and families moved on in search of work. One by one, buildings were left to rot, reclaimed by the forest that had once been cut away. By the 1950s, Bordeaux was silent. No more steam whistles, no more baseball games, just moss growing over the ruins and the wind whispering through second-growth pines. Today, Bordeaux is on private land, closed to the public, but the ghost of it lingers in crumbling foundation, rusted rail tracks, and the stories passed down by those whose grandparents worked the mill or went to school there. It's a reminder of a time when towns didn't just grow. They were carved out, hauled up, and eventually, when the work was done, left behind. So that's Bordeaux in a nutshell.
I love it.
So it's kind of a cool place. It's
yeah.
Like so many of these places that come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's interesting. It's on private land. Yeah. And so the owners haven't said, hey, you can come, you check it out. Right. You know, some national parks actually cross over private land or state parks and they get permission to That's let true. People go through.
Yeah.
Or to see something, you know, private land could have a waterfall on it.
Right.
And so then, you know, they want to make it accessible, so they do that. Yeah. So this hasn't happened yet, but it's still...
You never know.
You know, you could probably go check it out from a distance.
You can, I you think. Know? You can hike around it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll have information on the website as well.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to check it out more thoroughly. So now that was our next stop in our Chaza Pass. So again, those will be on the website at smartrver.com. Now let's jump into RV envy, having it together at the campsite. Now, when I think of this, I'm thinking of, you know, at a campsite where you're not running around in a panic, trying to figure out what to do. You're doing all these crazy things. Everybody's looking at you. You like the entertainment for the day.
Yeah.
You know, you pull in and just havoc starts. Everybody's looking. Oh, look at this guy, man. You don't know what he's doing. They're beyond being a new RVer. This is insane what they're doing, right? So you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that family. They're screaming and yelling at one another.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Yelling at your kids. You know, the whole package. When you go camping, whether it's a campground, you're out in the woods, at the lake, the river, the beach, wherever, you want to be prepared and know what you're doing. And you might even have to practice this at home a little bit, depending on your skill set, how long you've been RVing. But have it together, man. Don't yeah. get there and you're like, oh gosh, I got to go get some wheel chocks. I got to do this. I got to do that. Banging on your neighbor's door. How do I do this? Have an understanding of what's happening at the park. When you're getting ready or getting reservations for the park, you can talk to them. Hey, what kind of service do you have for power?
Mm-hmm.
What about water? What yeah. site? Where is it at? You know, where most people that pull in, is the water like in the middle of the RV, the power? Is it at the end of the RV? You know, if you're yanking on your power cord because it's 25 feet too short because they put their pedestal at the beginning of the spot, not the middle, yeah. you're going to look like a fool, you know. Then you got to get an extension cord. Have an extension cord. Be ready mm-hmm. for that.
Yep.
And these are basic things. It's kind of like we were talking about in staying on the road, you know, that being prepared. It's similar to that. It's keeping control of the situation or having it in control and not letting it rule you.
Right.
So having some extra water hose, some long, you know, an extension cord for your power cord, adapters for the different types of outlets at the parks, you know, 30 amp, 50 amp, 115 volt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being ready for those things. Wheel chocks, having your family understand what's happening here so they yeah. can help and you're not doing it all. And so they know what's going on. So maybe something happens to you and they can pack up the RV and leave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You behind. But, you know, what if you fall, break your leg?
Yeah.
And now your wife has to pack up the RV. Can she do it? Would she have a clue, right?
Right.
It sounds kind of crazy, but things happen.
Yeah.
You know, things happen all the time. So just have it together at the campsite.
Yeah.
Be prepared for it. You know, don't look like the afternoon entertainment when you get there. It's very simple. And part of that is just being prepared for everything, and that preparedness helps you enjoy the trip more. You're not going to, if you're not prepared for setting up, you're going to hate going RVing.
Yeah.
And I hate this. Always such a hassle. I never have right. the right stuff. That's because you haven't bought the right stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you haven't talked to others, some experienced RVers, to me, the expert.
Exactly.
So be prepared. You know, have it together when you get to the campsite. You will enjoy that tip that much more. Mm. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast channel, whether it's iTunes, iHeart, Spotify. We're on all of them. And if you have a podcast channel that we're not on, let us know. We will make sure we get on it. We are on everything. Check us out on YouTube and subscribe there. We appreciate it to subscribe and like and watch our podcasts and share them with others. Today, we've had a great conversation about many different things, staying on the road, next stops, RV envy, enjoying the RV life. And I did bring up that sticky water valve at the beginning of the show today. So let's get here. Let's see what happened here. The water valve in this couple's RV stuck open. They had somebody staying with them. It sounds like maybe that person didn't do something right, so the pedal didn't close, or the valve or the ball valve didn't close all the way. So the water, it closed enough. how do I describe this? It didn't close all the way, but it closed, like, let's say 98% of the way. So some water was going to the holding tank, but the bowl was filling up faster than it was draining into the holding tank. So the bowl's filling up. Water starts overflowing the bowl. Now you got toilet stuff everywhere, right? In the bathroom, things like that.
Yeah.
So because they were in the RV, it only got so bad. So the damage was minimal. You know, it was on linoleum, so they had to replace linoleum. It did buckle from it, which that isn't a huge thing. But, you know, you think about the inconvenience of it.
Yeah.
You know, why did that happen? Why did the person not understand how to really use the toilet? RV toilets are a little bit different than a house toilet.
Yeah, they are.
And you can't expect people to just know. You might actually have to go in there and show them how to use it, especially if your toilet doesn't really work right.
Yeah.
And when I say them, show them how to use it, I mean how it functions. You know, don't sit down on the toilet thing and show them how to use it. You're not in jail, okay? So just show them how the pedal works. If you have an older one that has a fan flush, you know, just, you know, be reasonable.
Yeah.
So they averted a major disaster because they were there. If they would have been on the way out, you know, we can imagine how much water would have been in that RV when they got back.
Yeah.
So make sure your RV is up to snuff and show people how to use it if you have guests. Even if they're RVers, their toilet might work different.
Right, exactly.
So it doesn't make them an expert on your toilet. Nope. Share with them.
Yeah.
Make them smart, just
avoid
like
that.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this brings us to the end of another episode. This is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast, your go-to guide for smarter RVing and unforgettable adventures on the open road.